ever been around a group of kids and all of a sudden, this church, have you ever been around a group of kids? Oh, no. So we have a lot of kids here, although there's not that many in house. But you've been around a group of kids and it's like all of a sudden they're playing along and then all of a sudden you hear this little, and one kid comes running in and he's holding a certain body part or something like that. And Johnny hit me. And then Johnny comes right in behind him and Johnny's like, but they hit me first. I mean, you've never done that, right? Never seen that ever? No, probably never. You know, it's like, it's always someone else's kids who do that, or it's your nephews or nieces or whatever. Yeah. So what's really funny, though, it's like adults do that, too. We do it a little bit different, though. It's like when adults do the, well, they hit me first thing, usually it's like, well, they insulted me first. You know, it's like, so I've had discussions with people about, you know, there's a relational tension going on, and a lot of times it's because of words, negative words that are, you know, shot at each other, and it's just like you gotta retaliate. You know, it's like this escalation of force, and there's just something in us sometimes that's just like, I just want to say, gah, right? We kind of have that in us. So adults do that too. It's just, you know, we just try to maybe spiritualize it or whatever. But another thing or a phrase that was interesting to me researching what we're talking about today, which we'll get to in a minute. It's going to be talking about revenge. But how many guys have seen Wrath of Khan? You got Trekkie fans? The Wrath of Khan? No, one. Jason's back there going, oh, don't. All right. So there is a quote or a statement or in this case, a Klingon proverb, which didn't originate in the Wrath of Khan. I get that. This proverb has been around since like the 18th century. It's been in different novels and movies, but is, and I'll quote directly from Khan. He's talking to Captain Kirk, and he says, Kirk, old friend, do you know the Klingon proverb, revenge is a dish best served cold? And so in this movie, Khan felt like Kirk had done some really nasty things to him, and so the whole movie's about Khan trying to get revenge, right? And so this is a part where he's talking to Khan. He's like, and the whole concept of that was, is like, the longer you wait for the revenge to, you know, to enact your revenge, the better it is. Because that's the whole, like, the dish is cold, you serve it cold, basically when they least expect it. So the longer they anticipate it and the fact that it might be coming, it just makes the revenge that much sweeter, right? That's kind of what he's trying to say. Which is totally, absolutely, 100%, as hopefully we all know, not biblical, right? So we've been walking through the Sermon on the Mount, and today we're going to talk about another very famous part of Scripture, and it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, which is followed by turn the other cheek. You guys have heard that saying before, right? Turn the other cheek, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And revenge is maybe, if you really like it, is a dish best served cold, but it's also very not biblical. And so I'm going to give you the punchline of the sermon. Revenge, don't do it. Just don't do it. And that's easy to say, but it's very challenging. When we look at the scripture, one of the things I want to continue to remind you guys is that the Sermon on the Mount we're going through is about Jesus speaking to his disciples. He's trying to teach. He's saying, this is the way you live as a Christian. This is the way we engage one another. This is how we live our lives. This is how we honor God. This is how we love God and love people, you know, from day to day. It's a very challenging, practical, practical is probably the wrong word, but it's a very challenging sermon. He's pushing us. And he's continually confronting cultural norms, and this is no exception. So we need to continue to remember that when we go through any portion of Scripture, is that it's not just this isolated portion of Scripture that we need to look at. We need to take in the whole counsel of God. We need to look at all its context and how it fits in, but remember that Jesus is trying to get us to walk with him, to love him well, to live with him, and that's what he's trying to communicate. It's not just some stories. It's just not some platitudes or some, you know, it's not even a trendy proverb that he's trying to say. He's saying, this is how to live healthy. This is how to live right. This is how to honor me and worship me with your life. You know, worship is not just about singing songs, but it's about living in a way that glorifies God. And also, it's a way that is very, very shocking at times. And I think I've said that several times in the last few times I've preached, but I think a lot of these principles, if we really live them out, especially in our culture, some of them are so intensified because our world doesn't live by them, you know? And so when you do, it's just going to be that much more shocking, but it's also going to be that much more difficult. Hey, keep that baby under control. It's my grandbaby. She's on the floor there. You know, it's really sad, but it did take my daughter, what, 4 or 5 months to get your child to church first time? I think I said that last week too, but I want to say it again. She's so cute. She's got these cheeks. Sorry. Anyways, I call her fat all the time. Focus, focus. Well, she's right there. It's so cute. Anyways, yeah, we got a timer. I'm like 17 minutes left. Shoo. Okay. Turn the other cheek. But her cheeks, they're so cute. They're just, see, I was focused. I tied it in there. See, it's all about tying it in. I did it. Awesome. Well, this, going back to the scripture, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, Jesus says, he's saying, you know, you've heard that saying before. That's what he's saying to his people. And actually, it was at this time, it was a law that had been around for a long time. One of the things we need to understand about this eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, it's not about revenge. It's not about saying that revenge is okay. Someone knocks your tooth out, you get to punch them in the face and take their tooth out too. You know, someone gouges an eye out, you get to do the same. It's not what it's talking about. This is actually the original intent of the law was about justice and actually about the beginnings of mercy. Because when it was actually put in place so that if someone did, say, happen to, you know, like, break your finger, then you couldn't retaliate by, like, you know, taking their head off, you know, or cutting their entire arm off. It was kind of the crime fits the punishment was what this was about. This was more about justice and mercy and making sure that there wasn't excessive, you know, punishment. And so that's what the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was. But Jesus is taking it even further. And that's what he's been doing, we've been talking about in these, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, is kind of deepening it, and he's making it an issue of the heart. So one of the things when we look at the scripture, there's four specific things that Jesus talks about. Turn the other cheek, and if someone sues you, you know, for your tunic, give him your cloak, and, you know, he wants you to walk a mile with him, go in, 2 miles. Those are all different ways that we are unfairly treated, that in some fashion we are degraded, in some fashion that there is an offense towards us. In some fashion, we are legitimately, you know, wronged. And what he's saying, the gist of it, is what he's saying is don't retaliate. And in a culture like right now where everything is a bit like a cancel culture, I don't know if you guys have heard that term, but it's like you make a mistake and everyone just kind of, you know, it's like, and you make a statement online and you offend somebody, and it's like, oh my goodness, they will unleash the rage on you. And it's this sense of retaliation, or I'm going to make my voice heard, or I'm going to, you know, push you down, I'm going to attack you, I'm going to, you know, what you said offended me, so I am coming at you, and I'm coming at you strong. And Jesus is saying, don't do that. So the first one, looking at the tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. One of the things we need to understand too is that in this scripture, Jesus is talking, he's getting very personal. Because he says, I tell you, and that's when he says that, but I say to you in the scripture, that he's applying that to you, me, all of us. But then when he goes to the next part, when he says, but if someone strikes you on the cheek, when someone sues you. And what he's trying to do is make it an issue of the heart. This is about someone offending you, someone striking you, someone making you go another mile or walk a mile, and you're supposed to, you know, go beyond that. So this is, once again, sometimes we can take something like this, like the turn the other cheek part. That has often been used for, just doing a whatever. Often been used for like passivism, and it's not necessarily what that the scripture is talking about. What he's talking about is you as an individual when you are wronged, when you are degraded, you need to turn the other cheek. Let me read the scripture for you. I just want to read through it. And then we'll kind of break it out a little more. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow. So he's stating this ancient law, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. But he's saying, but what I say to you is, here's four areas where we can, you know, receive a wound or be degraded or attacked unjustly, whatever. And he's saying, don't retaliate. Don't retaliate. Don't go after that. So let's look at the eye for an eye one. Or excuse me, the turn the other cheek. At the time when Jesus was declaring this, the turn the other cheek thing, it wasn't about someone coming up and punching you in the face. It was actually about someone backhanding you. And in that time, when someone slapped you across the face, they would use their right hand and they would hit you with the back of their hand. That was considered the ultimate insult. So think of, in your brain, let's relate this to something on you, in your life, what someone could say to you or do to you that would be like the ultimate insult. Where they're insulting your honor, they're attacking you as a person, they're attacking your identity. That's what the backhand or the slap would be. So it can be about violence, you know, and about being struck. But the heart of what he's saying is even more than that. When someone backhands you across the face, when someone insults you, when someone throws a dagger at your heart, don't retaliate. He says it this way, don't resist an evil person. But that word resist would be better understood as don't repay. So another thing we need to remember is that this isn't talking about, you know, like the lack of justice. It's not saying that we don't have justice. It's not saying that we just let people do whatever we want. If someone's, you know, beating the tar out of me or if someone's bullying me, I just got to stand there and go, okay. But our problem is that we take that understanding or we take even this radical individualism or even, dare I say it, Americanism, and we say, I'm going to stand up for me, dang it. And what Jesus is saying is, don't do it. This is really tough for me to go through, you know, reading this and thinking of all the different things that, you know, maybe I've fought for and tried to stand up for. This is a difficult scripture in the sense of, on one hand, it's like we need to understand that God calls us to, you know, defend people, the marginalized. We need to stand up for people. We need to take a stand, right? So there is justice. But he's clearly saying also that there isn't vengeance. It is an attitude of your heart. And if it comes down to it, if someone smacks you across the cheek, or if someone sues you unfairly, or if someone makes you walk an extra mile, you know, or if someone's taking advantage of you, your money, you know that they're asking for money and you know that they're just going to do dumb stuff with it. You know, a lot of times we react in a way that is based on who we feel we are, about on our identity. And what Jesus is saying here is that don't retaliate. Trust me. Allow me to work through this situation. And there isn't necessarily a promise. So if someone insults you deeply and wounds you deeply, and you just stand there and you don't retaliate, you don't repay, you know, there isn't necessarily a promise that that person's going to go, oh, wow. That's pretty cool. You didn't retaliate. He may punch you in the face again. You know, it may happen. But Jesus is saying, for the sake of your heart and actually for the sake of that other person, don't retaliate. Because that's how we are showing God's love. And that's how we can say, God, I trust you enough in this moment that I don't need to defend who I am. I am confident enough in who you have defined me to be. I am confident enough in this moment that I don't need to defend myself. It's interesting. This one may get a little weird. Not weird, but this one's a little tough. And I think in the context of where we're in right now as a culture, we need to kind of wrestle with this a little bit. In verse 41, it says, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. That's basically exploitation. Someone's exploiting you. They're forcing you to go a mile. And Jesus is saying, I not only want you to go 1 mile, I want you to go 2. But the context of what he's saying, kind of like the slap, it's a little different than what we understand. We think, okay, that's, oppressive, brutalized, thing. But the context of this scripture is that Jesus is saying, Roman soldiers at the time could come up to you at any time and basically conscript you into service. So going a mile was actually 1,000 paces. So the Roman soldiers, they could take you 1,000 paces. They can conscript you to work. They can, they can say, hey, you, get over here and do something. You're going to do this, and you don't have a choice. So basically it's saying a government or a authority over you is exploiting you. Don't resist it. Oh, gosh. Okay, I'm going to say this. I want you to wear a mask. Ah! Should we wear 2? I think sometimes we're so just, I want my stinking rights, and I have my experts, and I know better than you, and I know, blah, and we just get so wound up about our rights and our identity, and you're not going to tell me what to do, dang it, that we miss the opportunities to share God's grace and God's love, and we're not acting like Jesus. Jesus went to the cross. He got beat and thrashed and destroyed. They destroyed him physically. They insulted him. They spit on him. They tore his hair out. They beat his head with a rod. And he took it. And so when he's telling us to go the extra mile, he's not saying, or turn the other cheek, he's not saying that without understanding. He knows. He knows in this moment that he's heading to the cross. He knows what's coming for him, and he knows that he was going to do that. Once again, what makes this so difficult for me and challenging is the fact that we do need to stand up for people. We do. Justice needs to be served. But mercy triumphs over judgment. And in these moments, we have to be so careful about the attitude and condition of our heart that we're not striking out because of us, because we have a weak identity in Christ, because we don't know who we are, because we feel like we have to defend ourselves. We're not really worried about justice. We're just worried more about our comfort. Jesus is saying, don't retaliate. Don't repay evil for evil. This is about overcoming evil with good. And the Bible is very, 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 very clear about that. Overcome evil with good. So I'm going to get a little intense here, like I haven't already. A little over a year ago, we had some guys show up at our house and kidnap my son. Good times. And dealing with that sense of justice and retaliation has been really fun. It's been a journey that the Lord has taken me on. And to be honest with you, it's like I can honestly say right now, if I think about those guys, Donovan and James, I feel sad for them, And I don't mean like in a, I don't know. I feel a legitimate concern for their souls. But it wasn't easy to get there. And it's kind of weird because, so I'm teaching on this thing, right? So last night, we're sitting around our house, and Brianna and Adrian are over, and we get a phone call from my brother-in-law, Ken, and he's like, there's a couple of guys driving around in the field. There's two cars in between the fields, you know, by your house. I don't know if they're coming towards your house. I don't know what they're doing. They're small, like little Honda-type cars, little sporty kind of cars. They're driving around. I don't know if stolen car, if they're drunk or what. And I'm thinking, oh, great. And then he's like, yeah, Mike and I are standing by the road watching them. And I'm like, oh, great. So I look over and down by the road. I don't know, were you here with him at the time? Yeah, so he's down there, and there's these cars driving around, and then all of a sudden they stop. And so I get out. I have the spotting scope, and I get it out, and I'm looking through the spotting scope because I'm like, okay, what's going on? And I'm in full alert mode. It's like, okay, because he was already intense on the phone. And he's like, he wasn't freaking out, but he was very intense. And so I get the spotting scope, and I look, and there's like, then a third car comes up, and there's probably six or seven guys. They're coming out, and I see one of them's running towards, I couldn't quite see, and then I'm looking and watching, and there's a guy with a wife beater shirt on. I don't know if you know what that is, but that's a really bad name for these white T-shirts that, you know, the undershirts with no arms. And anyways, sorry. But anyways, it's just a bad name for the shirt. But this guy comes running out, and I'm looking and watching what they're doing, and all of a sudden we hear a gun go off. And I'm like, that's a gunshot. So I'm like, everybody in the house. So we're in the house, and once again, I'm on full alert, and I'm looking through the spotting scope again just to see what's going on. We're trying to figure out what's going on, and the one guy pulls a pistol out of his pants, and he's waving it around, and then he does this again, you know, and he's talking, and they're laughing. I'm like, oh, my, this is bad. And the only thing that kind of kept me a little bit calm was the fact that one of our the workers on the farm who's changing water, that they go out and they roll the wheel lines, but he's out there on his four-wheeler. And then we see he's out there, and then he drives away, and those guys are still standing out there, and they keep watching. And then I notice they pick this badger up off the ground, and they're holding this badger, and they're all taking pictures with it, and they're like holding the gun like this, and they're all like, and then they throw down. They got beer. I mean, they're drinking, and I'm watching all this through the scope, going, oh gosh, this is nuts. So come to find out that. The guy who's out, he's out changing water, he's working, and they saw this badger, and so he invites all his friends over, and so they all come over with their beer and their guns, and they're in the backyard, they're in the field behind our house, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, this is nuts, you know, and so once again, I didn't completely freak out, but I'm on, like, high alert, and that all of that stuff, it happened a year ago. You're just like, and you start getting angry again. And in the middle of that, I'm just like, okay, I gotta like let this go. And it was interesting because I could honestly think, so obviously the two guys come up, James and Donovan, they come up in my mind, and I'm like, actually, I still feel I'm okay. And it was really kind of nice. Took me forever to come unwound. Nancy and I, we drove to town to get Starbucks, and we almost came over to your guys' house, Luke, because Nancy's like, you just need to hold Maple. But, you know, it's just, it's like that. It was, you know, just right here, there's this feeling. The intensity of the situation from over a year ago was back, and it was just sitting there, you know. But to know that, you know, as far as those two guys go, I'm good. I've forgiven them. I've released them to the Lord. And so that was really nice. I had to work through wanting to go and, you know, why did you invite people over to shoot a badger in my field with beer and guns? You know, it's like, don't do that. So, you know. Because in the middle of it, I'm thinking, okay, so if these guys do decide to come towards my house, you know, I was actually thinking, well, we're a little bit better prepared this time because I know they're coming. And I guarantee you, they're not going to get in my house. You know, so all these thoughts are going through your brain. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going to retaliate, but I am going to defend myself in that situation and defend my family. And so it's just all these weird emotions, and I'm like, I gotta preach on this tomorrow. Dang it. So, But as we go through all of these scriptures, I just want to continually emphasize, in this season of time, guard your heart. Allow Jesus to soften your heart towards people. I know we have rights, and I know we have things we need to stand up for, but make sure your motives are that you're fighting for other people, or you're standing up for others, and you're not standing up just because, you ain't telling me what to do. Don't be that kind of person. That's annoying. That's not biblical. If you're going to be passionate about something, I'm okay with that. You know, injustice and, you know, poverty and all the things, you know, racism, all of that. Be passionate about it. That's great. Do it. But don't operate out of a lack of understanding who you are. You are loved by God. If you're a child of God, you surrendered your life to Jesus. That means that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Father of and Creator of everything, you know, he's with you. Allow God to keep your heart soft. Don't retaliate. Don't try to put things in categories of, you know, just. That's one of the reasons why I didn't want to go through necessarily each one of these scriptures, because then you can say, okay, well, he listed those four things. This thing doesn't fit in that category, so I'm good. I'm going to punch him in the face because it didn't fit. Examine your heart. Amen? Amen. Why don't you guys come back up and pray? Yeah, stand up with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for being with us. I thank you for your grace, for your mercy. I thank you for walking with us. I thank you for teaching us. I thank you for molding and shaping our hearts. And Lord, I pray in this moment that wherever we're at, that we would allow you to keep our hearts soft, first and foremost to you. Increase our sensitivity and our ability to hear you as you speak to us through your Holy Spirit, as you speak to us through your word, as you speak to us through other people. Help us to hear you in the midst of the chaos and the noise that's going on around us. And Lord God, help us to rest and trust you. Rest in you and trust in you. You are so good, wonderful, and merciful. And I thank you for all that you're doing. Help us to guard our hearts. Help us to love you well and love people well. In Jesus' name, amen.